So you didn't get a shower the night before because there was no hot water. So you get up 30 minutes earlier this morning to get a shower, and there aren't any towels, so you have to go get one. You open up the cupboard and all the towels come showering down on you. You find one and you stuff it back in there and close the door as fast as you can so the rest don't fall out. It's going to be a bad day. It's like a bad movie and you hope it'll defy the odds and suddenly magically turn into a good movie. But as you dress, nothing fits. It's wrinkled. It's stained. The keys have chosen to be missing today. Your favorite coffee mug, which faithfully sits on its perch day after day, falls and breaks as you try to sign the teacher's note about little Johnny being in trouble. You finally get away from the house and think things could possibly get better when you arrive to an angry boss who tells you you're going to have to redo all the work you did last week. So not only is it going to be a long day, it's going to be a long week. We're told to absorb all this and go whistling along, eliminate the negative and accentuate the positive. But that book had no chapter about the mechanic who said it's fixed when it isn't, and you're on the side of the road. That song had no verse about the dog that keeps using your front doormat as his personal latrine. The Bible tells us that some days are going to be bad days. And the Bible tells us about some things to remember when things don't go our way. Now, I was thinking about how we talk about something so momentous as the Lord's Supper and the events that we remember at the Lord's Supper. And we wonder, how can we even have a bad day in one sense? And yet God knows we will have bad days. That the little foxes that Solomon talks about in the Song of Solomon, those little foxes will drive us crazy sometimes. The little minutiae that happens, it doesn't have to happen. You wish it wouldn't be there, but it happens, and you have to stop and deal with it. And you think, in the grand scheme of eternity, why am I fooling around with these little bitty circumstances that shouldn't matter? But bad days will happen. In Matthew chapter 6, when talking about the fact that we shouldn't worry about the things we wear, the things we eat, the things that we need, God's going to provide those things. It says in verse 34, sufficient is each day with its evil. God understands. And what he says is, don't worry about tomorrow. You need to worry about right now and take care of all the little things that you need to today. Tomorrow will have its own problems. Every day will have its own problems. We're a little bit like, and I've golfed a little bit in my life. I'm not a golfer. I guess I could be a flogger. Maybe that's what I am. But when you get on the golf course and you are comfortable enough with your swing that one out of 25 will actually be good. And you hit it somewhere in your round of 18 holes, you'll hit a shot. And it'll go true and high and far. And you'll think, well, that's almost like the big boys do, you know. We somehow think now, I figured it out. The secret of life. Everything now is going to be just like that. Every shot I hit is going to be just like that. And you get to the next ball and hit it, and you're back to your old ways. We somehow think that our best day should be every day. And that once, if we could just figure this out, how to organize ourselves or how to prepare or how to provide enough stuff that we'll be ready for anything and nothing will cause us to get down. We never learn the real truth that God wants us is learn how to be capable of dealing with everything in life. It's not how much you're prepared. It's not how much stuff you have. It's not how organized you are. It's how you personally learn how to deal with all the things that life has to. But you add to the fact that each day has its own evil, to the fact that Satan brings a lot of problems in our lives, directly or indirectly. You know, it's an interesting thing. We talk about Satan tempting us. We know that our temptation comes from our own personal desires. James talks about that in James 1 and verse 14. We're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lusts and desires. We know that this life has its passions. That we have these passions. And when you say passions, you think, oh, that's a good thing. Passion is a good thing. We think that our desires, however, are evil. Well, that's not necessarily. They're both the same. And we have great potential in these desires that we have, in these passions we have. We have to wade through some bad stuff from time to time. Some things that we think ought not to be there, that we can be assured won't be there in heaven when God has ordered things as he did. And you add to the fact that every day has its own evil and Satan brings some to us, the fact that time and chance happens to all men. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11, the race is not to the swift. How many times have we seen this in sports? The guy gets up, lines up, and he says, man, he's going to tear up the field. He's going to outrun everybody. He's going to beat everybody. But he doesn't. It is not. The battle is not always to the strong. We need to recognize you go into life and it's possible. You're not guaranteed that you will win, that you'll accomplish your dreams, that you'll come out okay. You have to work hard. Now, God can guarantee us that if we're faithful. But you're not guaranteed that just because you're you. There's just something about us that makes us think that from time to time. Oh, this happens to everyone else, but it won't actually happen to me. And people can make the most foolish mistakes in life and follow a pattern of insanity almost through their life, thinking that somehow they'll keep doing the same thing and they'll get different results. You say, Jeff, are you becoming pessimistic? No, I don't believe that I'm a pessimist. I want very badly to be an optimist. But we have to be realistic. God did say that sufficient is the evil in each day. God did say that. It is a reality. It is a hardship as a result of us being cast from the garden because of sin. It is a consequence of some of the decisions we make or our lack of knowledge of things around us. Sometimes that's our fault, sometimes it's not. But I still believe that what Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 is true. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I do believe that good things will result from those who answer God's call and every day strive to live a godly life. But bad days will happen. Even to the most faithful Christian, bad days will happen. And a bad day will only be a bad day. It can start out bad, but a bad day will only wind up a bad day if it defeats me. And I'm not beaten until I give up. As long as I scrap and fight and get up again, every time I'm knocked down, I don't call that a bad day. And sometimes I've been very thankful, humbled, and not in a selfish or sinful way, proud that I was able to, through God's guidance and help and providence and answer to prayer, make it through a lot of circumstances I've faced. And you could probably say the same thing. Second thing that I want us to think about in terms of a bad day is Jesus cares about even the little minutiae that we have to deal with each day. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, it says, cast all your care upon Jesus because He cares for you. All the problems, Jesus is ready for them. Jesus doesn't say, okay, I'll handle your sin, but just don't give me that childish stuff, that immature stuff, that selfish stuff. Don't give me any of that. No, He says, cast it all on me. All your weaknesses, all the things that you, the mistakes that you make over and over and over. When we're young, we say it was an accident. Think about what that means. Of course, you know, the reality when you get to be a grown-up is it may be an accident, but the mess is still on the floor. And somebody's got to clean it up. The problem in your life is still there. The debt you owe, the pain you caused someone when you did something that's wrong. You can say you're sorry, and that is what you should do when you do things that are wrong. But that doesn't always change the fact that it happened. Words spoken can't be taken back. That's a reality that it takes a maturity to come to realize and appreciate. Jesus cares about all of that. We tend to trivialize bad days and underestimate their impact on us. Let me tell you what, a bad day is like a ripple in a pond. And we talk about those good ripples, and the good ripples are great. You never know how far they'll go, and you can touch a life, and that's great. Bad ripples can too. And we think about the fact that, you know, when I pull out in front of you and make you stand on your brakes to avoid an accident, well, you just need to just get a grip and don't worry about it and move on with your life and don't be so upset. But when somebody does to us, it's amazing what happens to us when we get behind the wheel. It's like we're a totally different person. And I see from the smiles that some are more so than others. Jesus said, cast all your cares on us. Don't take the danger of these little things that begin happening to us and they begin affecting us. And there's like a little Charlie Brown, there's a little black cloud over our head. And you know, we're like, you better not bother with me. I've had a bad morning. You just better steer clear of me. You ever see how when people have a bad day, they think that's license now? That's license for me to use profanity. That's license for me just to go off on you. That's license for me to say whatever I want to say. I can be brutally honest because I've had a bad day. We just think that's license. It's not. That's the time when we need to double down on our determination to be a good person. It's going to be harder now, but it's more important now. Jesus cares for us all. Of us. And if Jesus didn't trivialize our bad days, we shouldn't either. Mention Matthew 6. I want to look at a couple of verses there. It'd be worth turning over there. I had several of these to throw up on the overhead, but I had to reload Windows and somehow I lost Office. So maybe I can get it fixed this afternoon. In verse 26, Jesus talking about the fact that we shouldn't worry. He said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Jesus cares about the little birds. He cares about every creature in this world. He certainly cares about us and all of our problems, whether they may seem big or not. And then to verse 32. For after all these things, talking about what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear, verse 31. After all these things the Gentile seeks, your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. He understands. See, what he's done, he's put us in this life, and we all have these lives that are going in slightly different directions. And sometimes we intersect, and excuse me, and we move on. And sometimes we bang into one another. What are you doing? Why did you do that? Sometimes God knows that that's going to be a part of life. Yes, he would have us all truly tracking to heaven, but he knows we're not. And he understands that he wants his children to be godly and to set a great example and to be a light to the world. Even though all these other people are going different directions and our lives are going to intersect sometimes in a tragic and painful manner. So what Jesus would say is that bad days are going to happen, even in a Christian's life. He cares about those things. And what he would tell us is that we need to act, don't react. And that's probably the most important point in this lesson to remember. Act, don't. Too many of our days are lived with no purpose or design. We're a little bit like the amoeba. We just react to stimuli. We say, I got up on the wrong side of the bed. What does that mean? Is there a right side to the bed? I just get up out of the bed off the side closest to me. It has no meaning because sometimes the bad things don't seem to have a meaning. But I tell you what, you can have a purpose and a meaning in spite of the difficult things that happen. And can now bring some level of importance to your day. So there are a lot of times when things start happening and one thing happens, and then if nothing else happens, then that'll just be a forgotten moment. But then something else happens and I'm slowed down again. I have to turn my attention to something that shouldn't. And then another thing happens. And after a little while, I have to stop and gather myself and say, okay, I'm going to have to trudge through mud this today. I'm going to have to march through mud. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be enjoyable. There's not going to be right-hand turns everywhere. Smiles from everybody I meet and people helping me along in my... That's not going to be today. But I'm going to marshal myself and I'm going to think about my day and I'm going to pace myself in such a way that I stay on top of myself today. Whatever Satan had in mind, I'm not going to give it to him. You know, Jesus told the story in Matthew chapter 13 of the sower who went out to sow. In ancient times, farmers did not cultivate their field. They did not add fertilizer. They did not row their crops in a nice, orderly fashion so as to maximize the yield they get from a piece of property. They had a bag of seed. And they slung it over their shoulder, and they threw the seed over here, and they threw the seed over there, and they just kept going until they threw seed over the whole field. Sounds kind of haphazard, doesn't it? No, there was a method to their madness. And while they didn't have the techniques and the technology that we have today, it's not haphazard at all. In the same way, God is not haphazard with our lives. There's purpose in everything He does and allows in our lives. And when you think about that, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Paul talks, this is maybe one of the most practical chapters of the Bible when it talks about the fact that how we live impacts our everyday. And that we have to marshal and get on top of ourselves in order to make of our lives what we want. If you were raised with Christ, he begins, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. So you put off all these things that will make your way more difficult, added to the minutiae of life. He goes on to say, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Can you see how if you don't put off these things that he talked about in these early verses, you keep these things in your, that's just going to make the bad things that are inevitably going to happen in life, it's going to make things that much harder on you. I don't have license to speak filthy language just because I've had a bad day, or somebody got on my case about something, or somebody mistreated me in some way. That's the time I can shine if I act in a manner that most people don't, because they react. And so what we need to do to start with, when you begin seeing things steering in a bad direction in a circumstance you're in or in something you're trying to accomplish or in a day itself, is you need to look for opportunities. So things are starting to happen to slow me down, to make things difficult, to get in the way. They don't seem to be that important, except that now they're keeping me from doing what I want to do that's important. Look for something good, because God's got something in mind. Sometimes people think that everything happens for a purpose, and Joseph talked about that. Bo had that in one of his Thursday night classes here a while back. Is everything happened for a purpose? I forgot my keys. Now I have to go all the way back to the house. And what's God have in mind by that? Recognize the fact that God's not the one that brings evil into our lives. God is the one that brings good things into our lives. All good and perfect gifts come from God. Now, we might imagine, and I think there's a sense in which all of the evil and bad things come either directly or indirectly through sin or Satan. Maybe it comes because of my choices. Maybe it comes because of the evil of somebody else and I'm collateral damage. But either way, God doesn't bring bad things into our lives. He allows them to happen. Some people are offended by that. Joseph talked Thursday night about why does God allow suffering. Sometimes people are offended because God could stop the suffering and he doesn't. But God knows there's something to be learned in everything in life, and especially in those things that test us, that push us to find out the fine line of our faith. No, God doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to be faithful. But he doesn't mind stretching our muscles a little bit. He doesn't mind working us out a little bit, because he knows we're going to be stronger if we're faithful. So James says in chapter 1 and verse 2, count it all joy when you face various trials. Now, if you're faithful, then it's going to teach you patience. If you're not faithful, you're not going to learn anything. The good comes only because we're faithful in spite of the trial. So if I'm faithful, then I gain some confidence. The next time I face a trial like that, I can remember, look, I've handled things like this before. There's an old saying among some of the old timers used to tell me, no problem for a high stepper. I learned a long time ago to step high and push hard, and I can do it again. There's also the confidence that we get from knowing that God's doing some special things inside of me. I'm not the one who gets the glory for this. God does. But God's actually accomplishing some things through me. And that's a good feeling. He goes on to say, let patience have its perfect work. Just let that patience marinate and let it grow and let it become something that really causes you to be in full possession of your life. Because when you're content, and that contentment lets evil go by. The glitter, the glamour, the hip sound and everything, just let it go by. And when our patience can allow us to stay on top and in control of our lives, then we're in a very special place, because Satan can't touch us. Satan is powerless. What does Satan do when you resist him? He runs from you. And that's power. And one other thing in connection with this, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talks about one of the more special passages in terms of our relationships to other people. He says in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth. The salt loses its flavor. How will it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing. It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. We are the salt of the earth. You can be assured that America is still standing because of the righteous people that are in it. And we need to seek to be righteous. It isn't whom we will elect that will save this country. It's godly, righteous people. And it isn't that we need to get on a housetop and yell and tell people how to behave. It is that we need to be righteous to set this example. But how can I affect other people? He goes on to say, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, in connection to our topic this morning, having a bad day, don't you see how letting your godly light shine, your patience, your determination to act instead of react, all of those are qualities that are sorely missing in the lives of most people. And can't you see how that light shines so brightly in darkness? When some people can see us having a bad day and they understand that it's real, they can see the problems and they see us gather our character and determine to be a godly person in spite of all those things, that can be very powerful. It can be very helpful for that light to shine in darkness. So God, who made the world and all things in it, knows man and knows our day through and through. We need to pray to God during those days, during those moments. Look to Him, call to Him. We need to determine to have a daily faith that was a match for our troubles. I know, and I try two things I think of as I go through my day quite often. I try to do this. Most of the time I can remember. Whenever something good, especially if it's unexpected, happened, I just say, thank you, Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. I just take that little moment. And also, when things start steering in a bad way, I'll think the devil's after me today. Well, it may not be directly. It may be indirect. And it may be as a result of my foolishness or absent-mindedness or something like that. Sometimes that's a part of it. Satan is the one who led Adam and Eve to abandon God, to be unfaithful, and to lose the paradise that God gave man. And in the same sense, when the devil gets after me, I strive to have a determination to not let him get the better of me. And this is not about me and my boss, or me and the people that work under me that don't have a lick of sense, or me and my wife, or me and my children. This is me and the devil, and I'm not going to let him get the better of me in my life. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll end with this passage. 1 Peter chapter 3. In this passage in verse 12, Peter said this: the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. You know, to a lot of people, the fact that God's looking at you is a bad thing. They want to hide like Adam and Eve in the garden. Of course, you can't do that. But to someone that really wants to have a close personal relationship with God, a loving relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God, and to spend eternity with God in heaven, I want God by my side. I want Him seeing everything I do. If He sees me doing something I shouldn't do, that's okay. I know He's going to lovingly correct me. I know I'm going to repent, and I know He's going to forgive me. And so I draw ever closer to Him. As the psalmist said, look at me, Lord, and see if there is any sinful way in me. Never forget that God's eyes are over each of us, and that everything matters. Jesus said that all the things in life will come to judgment. He provides blessings, He allows problems, and it all is intended to help me grow and become more and more like Jesus. Now, I was thinking about a statement that Cliff made when he was talking about the Lord's Supper. Isn't it nice that we can sit in this air-conditioned building and speak in theoretical terms about good and bad and evil and righteousness and heaven and hell? And you got to go out there in this world and you have to actually have to live that life. It was wonderful throughout the centuries before Christ came to talk about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. It's going to be wonderful. He's going to save His people from their sins and offer salvation to all mankind. Isn't that wonderful? But then came that day. Jesus says, what should I pray? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I came to this world. So now he's got to go and actually do the wonderful thing that he came to do. Well, it was a wonderful thing, but it was hard to do. Every time the whip tore into his back, he felt it. It was a real moment. It was a reality he had to deal with. And every time the Sanhedrin brought up another witness, he had to sit through that and listen to men lie about him. And every time he took a step through the streets of Jerusalem with the weight of that cross, and every time they hit the nail that went through his hands and his feet, he felt all of that. He had to go through every moment of that faithfully. So I need to remember that. We need to remember that the next time we have to go through difficult circumstances. I'm not talking about just minutiae. I mean even big, important matters in life. We have to go through. We're not spared the pain. We're not spared the aggravation. And we're not spared the difficulty. But God has promised, I'll be with you every step of the way. Let's open up our psalm books. Number 100 in the little book. As you think about this, I hope this is a lesson that you think about as you go through your week. It obviously is intended to be more practical, not so much. There's some theoretical in it. We need to think about all that God has done for us. We have, it seems from what scriptures say, we have been the center of God's attention for centuries. And what a wonderful blessing that God allows us to live in this world. And even in this day and time, we still have so many blessings, spiritual and physical, to thank God for. So as we face each day, let's do it with determination, with purpose, with a realization that I am a part of something much bigger than just myself. My life has purpose and reason. And let's determine to live it to God's glory. If you're subject to the call of God in any way, we want to encourage you with these words. If we can help you with prayer or any other way, then we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.